if you're coming to buy rental property, you need to have a long-term perspective. So you were just talking about this area that was 10 years ago was renting for $900 or so. And now today, 10 years later, $2,000 a month. And just having that long-term perspective is so very, very important. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and I have a special guest today. I have Tressa Walker. Tressa is one of our agents in, well, actually, you're our only agent, aren't you, in Atlanta?
Right now, yes, I am.
Right now, yes. So Tressa lives in Atlanta, has been in the business for 17 years, and she has a wealth of knowledge. She specifically, like, her niche is really working with real estate investors. So Tressa, I would call you like an investor-friendly real estate agent. That's what we would call you. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
That's the best way to describe me.
Well, awesome. Well, a lot of people love Atlanta because it's such a big city. It's a like diverse neighborhoods all over. You can kind of find anything, any kind of investing that you want. And so we're excited to have you here. The first thing that I really would like to dive into, just so I can learn more about it, like, I just found out before we hit record that you've been in this business 17 years. So I want to hear your story. Like, how did you get into the business 17 years ago?
Well, it's a very interesting story because I had no idea or even a pathway of thinking about real estate. I graduated from the University of West Georgia. I was there on the track of what I thought I was going to go into media law. I majored in communications and a minor in psychology. And so, but I had a heavy presence in student activities. So actually, student activities is what led me to real estate. I went back to work at my university for about 2 years in student activities. And then at the time, and I'm going to date myself, at the time, the luxury student housing was all the rage, where they were going to be bringing in computer labs, tanning booths, and all of this, right? It was new. Nobody was doing this.
Right.
So I got a call that they had heard about my success with student programs where I was implementing new ideas, and they heard about me, and it was a new company that was starting to bring luxury student housing to Carrollton, Georgia. So they heard about me, flew me up, which I missed my flight to get to. Flew me up, and I told them I was based on my background. I had no idea what I was walking into.
Right.
That I could get them 100% occupied. They were like, did somebody tell you to say that? I was like, no. So they hired me. And 3 weeks later, I was looking at dirt. They said, sell it.
Really?
It had not been built.
Right. Did you have a model or anything to show people, or just brochures?
Brochures.
Yeah.
And we also had one other property that was in North Carolina.
Gotcha.
So needless to say, I was like, okay, I was the general manager. I didn't have that opportunity to go from leasing to this, to this. Mm-hmm. I had to use my background to students, hired a team, went in, and what happened? 100% occupied before the year was out. Yeah. So then I was able to, from that success, they were like, hey, do this in all of our other markets. So that is where I got introduced to real estate in the property management field. And from there, I went from student housing, new development. Then I was like, hey, what is this multifamily that they're talking about? So I went into multifamily, where I was dealing with C and D class properties. So imagine going from brand new construction
to C and D class multifamily.
Multifamily.
Yeah. Yes. Different ball game.
Oh, yes. And I could tell you some. That'll be another podcast.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So that's how I got introduced into the real estate field. And from there, I decided that I wanted to. I'm a person that like to research. I like to know what's going on, keep my fingers to the pulse, look at trends. What's this? What's that? So I went back to get my master's in property management.
And really?
Yes. And so from there, this was at Drexel University in a graduate studies degree in real estate. But I'm going to say this, not all of this knowledge, all of these classes, nothing prepared me for the real estate exam when I decided to go get my real estate license.
Was it tough?
Oh, it was tough. I mean, I was like, what was I learning before?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Because I did push that off getting my license for a long time.
Right.
People encouraged me, my, you know, directors and different mentors that I've had in the real estate industry, they were pushing me, go get your real estate license. So I got this graduate degree. What do I need the license for? I don't want to sell houses. That's what I thought.
Right.
I just limited to there. But they saw value in me and saw that, hey, this will be beneficial to you in the future, which it has been.
Yeah, 100%. Did you know that I don't have my real estate license? And I never have.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I was just buying and selling houses for myself. And so you don't have to have a license to do that. And yeah, just never got it. And Matthew didn't have his either until he got into multifamily. I mean, not into multifamily, into property management.
Wow.
Yeah. So kudos to you for doing that. And I think that is a great story. That's a lot of really great experience, right? I mean, think about student housing to multifamily from luxury to C and D class. That's a wide breadth of experience. And really, what I love about it is it plays into a lot with Atlanta, because you can find just about anything in Atlanta, right? An investor can. They can find areas that, hey, this is going to be more of an appreciation play versus this over here is going to be more CD class and you're going to want a more cash flow.
Right.
So talk to me a little bit about, just for somebody who's listening in, of course, we have investors that buy in all kinds of markets, different markets that we manage. Give us a high level overview of Atlanta. Why is it a great place to invest in?
It is an amazing place to invest in. Just some of the things that you just pointed out, because Atlanta has everything. I mean, from the job market, from the green space, from top schools, you have everything. It's like a melting pot of professionals. You have everything you can think of on this corner. If you go into the heart of Atlanta, where you have the city, is, you know, if you're a city girl or a city guy and you want to, you know, walk to work and feel like you're in New York.
Yeah, and, right.
Or you can turn two corners and feel like you are in the suburbs, you're walking your dog and you're enjoying green space. So it is just, you just have a wide variety of opportunities here. Me being here for as long as I have and seeing the transformation, it's streets I can turn on where I remember what it looked like before.
Right.
And what it is and what it looks like now. And I'm just in amazement.
Yeah.
So the opportunities are just great here.
I think I always see Atlanta. What's interesting in Atlanta for me is because I have been in real estate in Birmingham for so long, Atlanta was always about 6 months ahead of us. So when things were changing and happening in the real estate market, they would take about 3 to 6 months to kind of get to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Atlanta's kind of like a big brother to Birmingham, because it's so close. You know, it's a less than 2 hour car ride and it's a 20 minute flight. It's pretty interesting. But so talk about, what I'd love to know is talk about some of the popular areas that you feel are great for investors, just kind of depending on what they're looking for.
Okay. So the popular areas right now would be the east side of Atlanta.
Okay.
And in the east side of Atlanta, you have the Beltline that was created over the past, I would say at least, I want 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Beltline goes throughout the entire, like from the south part of Atlanta to the almost to reaching to the north part of Atlanta.
Okay.
And it's amazing. And so it's drawing so many people in because they have that balance of what I was just saying about the city life, but also green space.
Right.
Where they can walk their dogs. They can, you know, a short commute to work, because, you know, also one of the negatives. The negatives of Atlanta is traffic.
That's right. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. So I would say, yeah, one the popular part is Old Fourth Ward. You have a Pot City Market area where they repurposed the old Sears and Roebuck. It was back in the day, you know, Sears and Roebuck, what, like manufacturing or catalog. And so what they did was they turned it and repurposed it into multi-use, where it's lofts and retail establishment, restaurants. And so it is booming. And I actually worked in that area for 7 years
at
loft. So as you mentioned just a moment ago about how Atlanta's ahead of the curve, or about 6 months ahead of Birmingham, I feel like Atlanta, I mean, sets the tone of these rents. Because I can recall, because I was in that property management about almost 10 years ago, going in and seeing where these rents at one point that were at $850, $900 for maybe a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Yeah. Now, like $2,000.
Wow.
A month.
Wow.
So I saw it and I actually was a part of it. And to be honest with you, at that time, we just kind of tested the market to see, would this work if we change, if these prices went up? And so now seeing that value of cash flow value in areas that investors are able to get is because of the work that was done almost 10 years ago of pushing those rents up. Another area too, I would say, you know, just personally and just professionally and personally, South Atlanta.
Okay. The
Atlanta area is booming. Henry County in particular has always, for years, was the fastest growing city in America. So, and you're seeing it now. You are seeing investors flock to the area. They are able to maximize so much in rent and rental rates. And where, you know, before the pandemic, it was a little, you know, you were able to come into the Henry County area, get something for about $250,000.
Yeah.
And rent it out for $1,650. Yeah. So, those two areas, particularly, in my opinion, are some of the most popular neighborhoods for investors.
You know, what you just said is really, really important. I was just talking with someone here in our office who, Gray Hall is his name. And so he and I were just talking about the importance of having a long, like if you're coming to buy rental property, you need to have a long-term perspective. So you were just talking about this area that was 10 years ago was renting for $900 or so. And now today, 10 years later, $2,000 a month. And just having that long-term perspective is so very, very important. I was also, you know, I went kind of like you seeing things. I was in Nashville. I went to school in Nashville many years ago. I won't say how many years ago, but it was, well, I'll say it was the mid-90s. And that place has changed. Like you've seen Atlanta change, I've seen Nashville change, and it's just been phenomenal. And so having a long-term perspective is highly, highly important for you as an investor, unless you're, you know, just coming to flip houses and things like that, then the here and now is the most important. So, Tressa, this has been good. Let me ask you, because you and I were talking before we hopped on and hit record, we were talking about you helping real estate investors, which I know that that's what you do. You just had a call yesterday with someone who's in England, but you were just mentioning what you tend to focus on at the very beginning. And I think this is really, really interesting. So when you get on a phone call or when you meet an investor for the first time, walk me through your thought process. Like, what are you talking to them about? What are you trying to understand about them before they just, like, you know, want to start making offers on houses?
Well, the first thing that I want to know is what is their why in real estate investing, and how and why did they get started? You know, you have some that are first time, they're just kind of getting their feet wet. But when I have a chance to speak with more seasoned investors, I like to know how they got started.
Yeah.
Keeps them in there, and why are they doing this? And that gives me the opportunity to connect with them, because you know, I look at it like this. I want to minimize their risk in investing here in certain areas of Atlanta, of the Atlanta market. Because when people hear Atlanta, they just think Atlanta and not in these sub markets that are around, and that there are other cities and that are less than, you know, 20 miles, 15 miles. Now, how long it takes you to get those 10 or 15 miles.
That's a different story.
Different story. But yeah, I want to know the why. And I'm always intrigued on, you know, how they got started or what, why they are deciding to make this step into real estate investing. And I also share my story and what my whys are and what keeps me and what made me make the transition. Because once I do share my background, it's always like, oh, so what made you decide to go from one, you know, from the property management side to the, you know, real estate investor agent side. Yeah. So I like to get to know them. I like to understand what their investment goals are. What are they, you know, how long are they planning on? Is this a short term? You know, so those are very important to me. And I feel like as an agent, when you connect with your clients in that way, it gives me the sense of, if something comes across my desk and I know that this client has a certain, you know, buy box that they're looking for, I immediately can go, okay, I remember this. Let me work this out. Let me analyze this deal and send it over to them.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic because it does help you connect with that investor, because it really needs to be, to me, like this relationship, an investor to a, and like to an investor friendly realtor needs to be one of a lot of trust because, you know, you want to like hear from them what is really, really important to them, what's driving their decisions, so that when you bring something to them, it's in their best interest.
Exactly. And I get really invested with my clients. I really do. I just think of a story of more recently, a first time investor family. And I sat down and wanted to know what their why was. You know, they had a family, two kids under the age of five, and really just connecting with them to where I wanted to make sure that this process was amazing. And then I, you know, was there for them for any questions that they may have had, because they were in another state. They were not even here in the Atlanta area. So, and I deal with that a lot. I have a lot of out of state, out of the country. So I really took the time to really, and it's genuine, because I look at it, I put myself in their shoes. I like to put myself in the shoes of the investor to really ask those questions, bring to their attention about certain things. And I also, because of my background in property management, I'm able to say, okay, so we need to look at it from this perspective. And have you thought about it? And so when they closed their first property, I really felt like it was me closing all, you know, closing.
With Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, and what's really interesting is, like Matthew and I talk about a lot, you date your real estate agent, but you marry your property manager, right? Yeah. But what's different for an investor-friendly real estate agent, someone like you, Tressa, is the fact that you want to stick with these clients long-term, right? So if they have goals to build, like, I want to build a 10-property portfolio in Atlanta, eventually I want to move up to multifamily, whatever the case is, you want to be there with them each step of the way. So in order to do that, understanding their why, and then bringing deals to them that make the most sense to reach their objectives is the way to go about it. So in a sense, you're not just dating your agent in that sense. You do want to have a long-term relationship with them.
Yes. And that's a great way to put it. I mean, I know initially, and I mean, I guess if you want to relate it to like dating, when initially you want to get to know what are your goals?
Yeah.
What are that and the other, to determine if they want to marry me, you know?
So that's right. That's right. No, that's good. That's good because it is a great relationship. And again, you do have to have a lot of trust built in. Well, that's fantastic. What else would you want an investor to know about Atlanta? Or maybe even, what are some of the questions you get from people who reach out to you about Atlanta?
Well, one of the questions that I get is the appreciation versus cash flow and these cap rates that they're seeing online that say, hey, Atlanta's going to get you 10 to 11% cap.
That's not happening.
That is not happening. And when it did, I think you might want to look at the date of when that article came out, because it's not happening right now. So I get a lot of questions about that. And I like to be realistic with them, because not only do I have the pleasure of working with first-time investors and seasoned investors, I've also worked with institutional investors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know that's a tricky little word around here right now in the market, in the Atlanta market, because, you know, they did take over. I mean, buying up quite, you know, so much of the inventory here. So with that experience, it kind of gave me insight on what they're looking for, what these institutions wanted, but then also what they don't want and what they're not looking at, which gives an advantage, I feel, for first-time investors and everything. So those are the questions that I get as far as the appreciation cash flow, the cap rates and everything. And so for me, what I feel with that, it depends on the area, like we just talked about. Does it have that appreciation value? Does it just generate cash flow? And one of the things right now, I'll tell you, like in my conversations with other agents, because that's also a key to this, is making sure you have an agent that's connected with other agents.
Right. That's right.
We're an island by ourselves. We're, you know, I'm not one of these ones that's just like, you know, we're just competing. We have to work together, and where they may have their boots on the ground to just a specific area. You have some that do just strictly farming. And because of the relationships that I've developed with them, as the same as I do with my clients, because you run into where you may have some agents that may not even answer the phone. If I can get you on the phone and talk to you, it's like, hey, especially if it's a listing that they have, just to really find out, hey, what can we do to get this to close? What is it that I can do? So with working with these other agents, you get to learn the neighborhoods, the different, you know, different neighborhoods that they may be in, what they're seeing, or what they may have in the pipeline for, you know, that's coming up.
Right.
And that gives off market opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So with just to kind of go back to the cash flow and the appreciation part of it, it really depends on those areas. And I have been having these conversations with the agents on with the market correcting right now, because that's what's going on. We're not in all of that. It's correcting. Right. So my question has been, okay, so what does that mean for the values, the market values? Because if we truly indeed take the last three comps of the sales to determine, you know, market value, what's going to happen when it corrects?
Yeah, right.
You know,
you're pulling comps from January and February and November, and man, those comps are going to look different than they like back then than they do today.
Right, right. So that's where I'm very interested to see, you know, how does that affect the appreciation? How does that affect all of that? And so those are the type of things that in the background, as an investor friendly agent, I'm trying to get ahead of. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm always like trying to think a few steps ahead of what's going on. Just like I feel like I did back 10 years ago when we were pushing the rents up.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
No, that's great. And it's really important. I mean, thinking about because the market is correcting, and you mentioned institutions. I just think, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think now, like if you have a long-term outlook, if you have set your goals and you know your targets, what you're trying to achieve with building a rental portfolio, then now may be a great time. Because what's happened, what I've seen is institutions have pulled back, right? They're not buying anymore. And they're just kind of like, hey, we have to wait. You know, our borrowing capacity is, you know, has changed since interest rates have gone up. I think, and you can tell me, I think sellers are starting to, and it's going to take a couple more months, but they're starting to get more realistic about what they can expect for their property. There's not as many offers on properties, right? So you're not having bidding wars that are going over asked for the most part. So it seems like it's a pretty decent time to make a lot of offers and be patient.
That's exactly my take on it. Sellers are having to adjust their expectations. Yeah. And It is a little slow. I'm not sure as far as the other markets, but the sellers are having to really, really take a look at what the market is right now. Because, like, it's not 6 months ago. Right now, you need to adjust your expectations. Yeah. No, you're not in $10,000 and $15,000 over asking. It's not multiple offers going in. So let's tone it down a bit. And get into the correction phase that we're in. And so, this time right now, I really feel too, with the institutions taking a step back, this is a great time for investors to really go in and make those offers, to go in and really, because what's going to happen is you don't want to sit back and say, dang, I should have.
Yeah, right.
Time. What do they always say? The best time to buy real estate is now.
Yeah. I mean, if the numbers work for you, make the offer based on the numbers that you want to work. And again, this is a business, right? So this is not, you are not getting emotionally caught up in something. So if the numbers work for you, make the offer and then make multiple offers and see what happens. Because what you're really looking for is you're looking for a seller who needs to sell.
Right.
That's what you're looking for. And out of 20 offers, you may find one. And that's really all it takes for you to buy your next property. And as long as you're, like you're saying, patient and determined, you can find great deals.
You definitely can. You definitely can. I get calls all the time now just because of my, with my track record with sales and connecting with these agents and that are, hey, I have this one that's coming on the market. Do you have an investor that's interested in it? Do you have anyone that would like this area? So it's opportunities that are out there. The time is now. And, I just hope that these investors are able to take advantage of the opportunities that's in front of us right now.
Well, I think that's a great segue into, Tressa, what I would like to do as we wind this up.
Okay.
There may be somebody listening here that wants to reach out and have that first conversation with you. So what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, the best way to get in touch with me is you can give me a call or text. I am also on social media, and those are the best ways to get in touch with me.
What's your phone number?
Phone number 404-500-6045.
All right. Very good. So if you're an investor, you love Atlanta real estate, you want to talk to Tressa, get in more in depth into these areas that she's mentioned. And Tressa, we're going to have you on our other podcast to do deeper dives into those areas and maybe even to some of the deals that you've seen out there recently would be fantastic. So, but if you want to talk to Tressa, reach out to her. I know that she would love to schedule a call and get on the phone and introduce you to Atlanta if you don't know Atlanta, because it's a fantastic city.
It's an amazing city. Yes, it is.
All right, Tressa. Well, thank you so much for being here. And if you haven't already, leave us a review for this podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back with another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast.